You're listening to Radio Influence.
Ooh, Mr. Microphone.
Hello, 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 hello. Life is but a dream. If I could take you up to paradise up above. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Hello, hello again. Hello. I'm Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. Welcome to iHeartMedia, where we're trying to dominate the world. Did we mention we're $20 billion in debt? Nobody seems to care. We're like the Federal Reserve. Just keep printing money and getting more credit.
And on the ninth day, God looked down on his wide-eyed children and said they need a companion. So God made a dog. God said, I need somebody willing to wake up, give kisses, pee on a tree, sleep all day, wake up again, give more kisses, then stay up until midnight, basking in the glow of a television set. So God made a dog. God said, I need somebody willing to sit, then stay, then roll over. Then with no ego or complaint, dress in hats they don't need and costumes they don't understand. I need somebody who can break wind without a first care or second thought. Who can chase tails, sniff crotches, fetch sticks, and lift spirits with a lick. Somebody who no matter what you didn't do or couldn't take or didn't win or couldn't make, will love you without judgment just the same, so God made a dog. God said, I need somebody strong enough to pull sleds and find bombs, yet gentle enough to love babies and lead the blind. Somebody who will spend all day on a couch with a resting head and supportive eyes to lift the spirits of a broken heart. So God made a dog. It had to be somebody who'd remain patient and loyal, even through loneliness. Somebody to care, cuddle, snuggle and nuzzle, and cheer and charm, and snore and slobber, and eat the trash and chase the squirrels. Somebody who would bring a family together with the selflessness of an open heart. Somebody who would bark, and then pant, and then reply with rapid wag of tail. When their best friend says, let's go for a ride in the car. So God made a dog.
Let me tell you why you're here.
You have 210 story office buildings.
We just witnessed some kind of...
You don't find a desk.
Secondary.
You don't find a chair.
Follow-up explosion on the World Trade Center.
You don't find a telephone.
Some kind of explosion. A lot of smoke come out of the top.
110 stories high. They are no longer there.
The building collapsed to dust.
To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust. To dust.
This is your last chance.
I would ask.
After this, there is no turning back.
Once all the facts are out.
You take the blue pill.
For your understanding.
The story ends.
And for your forgiveness.
You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want.
Media is the...
You take the red,
nervous system of a democracy.
You stay in Wonderland.
If it's not functioning well, the democracy can't function.
And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
The democracy can't function.
The red pill.
Take the red pill.
You have to let it all go.
Take the red pill.
Fear.
Doubt. WhatReallyHappened.com.
You just believe.
WTC7.net.
Free your mind.
Take the red pill.
ushered in by the greatest show intro in the history of all broadcasting ever in the history of mankind.
What's up, motherfuckers?
I think this song and I are like genetically connected at this point. I really do. I think like every time I hear it, and the only time I hear it is when I'm doing the show, it's not like I go, oh, let's play the Matrix soundtrack on my CD player. It don't happen, but what the song represents, specifically, of course, what the movie represents, what is our reality? What is an illusion? Where do the two meet to create what we know is our experience? Are they separate? Are they the same thing, except we can't only sense one from one perspective? Because we're on one side of the veil. A lot of people believe that, by the way. That there is no separation between you and what others call heaven. It's just... or eternity, or the oneness, or the great big electron, as George Carlin likes to call it. I don't know. It's okay to say I don't know, or I'm unsure, or I haven't made up my mind yet, or I'm on the fence, or you know what, I need to learn more about it. We live in such an absolutist motherfucking society right now, it just pisses me off. But I'm not here to be angry today. I'm not here to do anything except give you warm and fuzzies. That's the official title of the show. You can write it down. Hey, what was Legend's podcast about? I was warm and fuzzies.
What?
Yeah, really, dude. It was warm and fuzzy, man. I had to grab a tissue. That's my goal. That's my goal. By the time this show is done, if your tear ducts haven't kicked in at least once, you're not human! There you go. There's your test. GT's on the other couch in the other room, licking her crotch, making me jealous, wishing I could. Not lick hers, mine. You know. But, I've been wanting to do a show that didn't just have like one or two pieces of inspirational like content here and there. I wanted to do a show that was just a hodgepodge of inspiration. Maybe a couple of speeches I've got here, some amazing stories being told, some of the stuff I post on Facebook, some of the stuff you guys post on Facebook. And that's really what tonight's show is about. It's a day late. It's not a dollar short. Normally this show comes out on Wednesday night, but it is Thursday night. And the reason that happens is because I have a life too. Been kind of busy. Got some big changes coming up in my life. I'm going to be shacking up soon. You're living in sin. Devil's got you by the testosterone and testicles, boy. Yeah, I think Kelly and I are... But I don't want to get ahead of things, but yeah, we've been discussing it and spent about a year and, I don't know, 3-4 months now. I should know that exact date. It is. October, November, December, January, February. Year and a half. So that's been going on. My daughter's expecting her baby April 25th. That's about 6 weeks. Right around 6 weeks from now. Yeah, Grandpa Lidge. I can't wait. I already got my grandpa t-shirt. Wore it the other day. You guys saw it. I am having a granddaughter. My daughter and her husband have not decided on a name yet. I'm like, what are you waiting for? Like the last second? Like you're like pushing?
Let's call a baby. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit's not an acceptable name. Sorry. Unless it's Shithead. You know, Steve Martin's dog and the Jerk. Or Dickface. Have you seen the picture of Dickface on my Facebook page? It's a cat. And it has a... You know, black cats have white on them. Well... this one has a perfect set of balls and a penis on his face, right up the nostrils. Dick face. So my daughter and her husband, Wally, haven't decided. You know, like, clock's ticking here. I'm like, you know what? They're going to have a reveal. See, that's the difference between old times and new times, everything. And I don't tease my daughter about it, but it is kind of like, okay, everything's an announcement now, you know, when... Well, they already knew. They didn't know what the sex of their baby was going to be. They opened it up on Christmas Eve. They do the ultrasound, and then they put it in an envelope like it's the fucking Oscars. You know? And, well, maybe not the Oscars, but, you know, somebody that has their shit together. And you open the and you go, oh, we're having a girl. You know what? It was awesome. You know, it was Christmas Eve. They're in love with each other. They're expecting their first child. They don't even know what they're going to have. And they literally open an envelope that is a present. But these reveals, you know, there are people that charge money. My ex does photography for, you know, pregnant moms and stuff. And the whole idea of having a baby is an industry in itself, not just diapers and buying things and all that kind of stuff. No, it is announcements and pictures and ultrasounds and tick, tick, tick. The clock is ticking. Is my granddaughter going to have a fucking name? Come on. I picture my daughter in the stirrups. Now, I don't picture my daughter in the stirrups, but just, and you don't either. If you're picturing my daughter in stirrups right now, fuck you. But, you know, one more big push. What's her name? Shit! I don't know if we can fit that on the birth certificate. That's a lot of letters. So, yes, I'm going to be granddad, so that's going on. I'm getting ready to go to another great festival here in Florida, WANI, in late April. Can't wait for that. I'm only going to be a couple of days after the expected delivery date of my granddaughter. So April, obviously, is going to turn 56 next month. I don't feel it. I mean, I kind of physically feel it because I haven't been working out for quite a few years. So I kind of feel that part of the age. You know, like, what? Here's an example. Watch. Squat down to get a quarter. Hear that? That was my knee. And you make that noise when you get up. Are you guys old enough to make that noise yet when you get off the couch? When you sit back down, you go, ugh. You stand up, you go, yeah. It's like you're taking a squat. You get off a couch. Why all these freaking noises? Here we go. Yeah, I'll drive. So I feel that part of 56, but I don't feel it mentally in my head. I don't. I'm lucky. So far, so good. No dementia, none of that crazy Alzheimer's invading my vein. You know what? It makes me wonder if my cannabis use over my years might quite possibly have quelled a tumor before it became one, or is helping strip away fats that would have, you know, coat my brain and give me Alzheimer's. It's kind of interesting to think about it that way. What if you've been eating vegetables like a good boy your whole life? And what if 5 tumors never happened because of that? Or the vice versa? And you always hear these stories. 99-year-old grandmother smoked 2 packs a day and drank whiskey every day. Lives to be 100. You know, that kind of stuff. So, with a lot going on in my life, I wanted to make sure, and you get on social media, and it's full of so many douchebags and asshats and people that just want to pick a fight. They're miserable in their own lives. They don't like their relationships. They hate their job. They don't like the way they look in the mirror, whatever. They're just full of venom. And they get on and they type their venom and they hit send and they're venom. They're just, but in between all of those idiots and assholes are some really good people. Most of us, 80-20. And there are a lot of good stories out there. Not anyone specific, but I posted a couple of things the other day, and we're going to start with the first one. Yeah, we'll do that story first. Let me shrink this window so I can see it. There it is. And it reminded me, excuse me, that with social media, you get 100% of everybody, and you're going to get a certain percentage of people that are just angry and pissed off. One of my old acquaintances from way, way past in my life. I don't even want to get into the story, but just so full of venom that I didn't unfriend him, but I start unfollowing people now. If I see 8 or 9 posts, what I'll do is I'll see a post from someone. I'll go, man, they seem pissed. I'll go to their page and then scroll down their page and it's just anger, venom, vitriol. Ooh, good word. Three syllables.
Where's my bell? Damn it.
I hate that. See, that's when, like, having a full-time producer goes, three syllables. You get a bell for that. A lot of people are angry, sad, disappointed, depressed. I'm not making fun of what's happening with them. Hopefully they turn their life around. Someone comes into their life. I don't know what could make them happier. More money, more health, more food, more love life, whatever. But with the political real division, and I see that as a good thing, and we're not doing politics tonight, but I do see the division is good right now because it will lead to more renaissance. I promise you. Things have to bottom out. Things have to get bad in your life before you change. Alcoholics have to, you know, it's the same way with the country. And we're hitting, what, 250, 250 years old, and we've been completely overtaken. We know what's going on. We're now talking about it. More people are learning about it, but the venom is flying back and forth. And you see a lot of this on Facebook, and I have seen quite a few people saying, I'm going to take a break from Facebook. You know why? Because when they scroll down their timeline, it's hate, fear, anger, divisiveness, political rants, anything and everything that will, it can't, I'm not going to say it's going to overcome you, and I'm not going to say it's going to dominate your thoughts, but it will if you let it. Twitter. I'm only on Twitter. I just signed up for Instagram. I think a couple of months ago, I posted three whole photos. That's about it for me. I don't need to be on nine different social media links. I just don't see it. A, I don't have the time for that. But B, I'm still looking in between the asshats for some good stories. Now, a good story can be an individual story. It might be a lesson learned by a whole team. You'll hear a couple of those stories tonight, some very inspirational ones. They might be just a one story of one person overcoming disabilities. We've got plenty of those stories tonight. We'll have some speeches, just a couple, but the real inspirational ones. I've got two picked out, and they're both very old. Well, one's really, really old, and one is decades old. And both don't run more than 5 minutes. But let's start with the hard part of being a parent. Not everyone is given those skills by their parents. So sometimes, and it's funny too, I have two or three friends that didn't have the best dads growing up, and they're amazing dads now. They broke the cycle. They didn't get that, but they're going to make sure their child or children get that, that love, that balance, that inspiration, the pat on the back, the I love yous. A really good, solid parenting. No one's perfect. And we see the humor of parents on Facebook all the time being fed up or stuff like that. But I found this is only 2 minutes. And I have to tell you that I normally stop and start videos. You know that. I love to comment, as many air personalities do, the way my stream of consciousness works. It sometimes triggers a memory. And sometimes, yeah, it can break up the video. But tonight, I think I'll be playing more completely front to back. Watch me interrupt this thing 10 seconds in and totally discount what I'm doing. I'm more front to back because I don't want to ruin the mojo. And some of the stuff that is visual in nature, I'll describe it as I get to it because we do a podcast with no pictures. But let's just start with this one. Young blonde kid. I don't want to say speech impediment. At his age, later on, you know, sometimes kids have problems with R's and different things. Well, that stuff most of the time works itself right out. But this is a father. My computer's running extremely slow today, or Facebook is. I don't know. I think it's Facebook. So I think I'm just going to let this one run, and I'll be back in 2 minutes and 4 seconds. As soon as the video hits.
Just because you're unique and you don't look like everyone else doesn't mean that you're weird.
He was picked on at school because he has long hair.
So I was going to on my line, then two boys passed me.
Two boys passed me.
Made fun of me.
What did they make fun of you about?
My hair.
Because you have long hair?
Yeah.
It's pretty long, dude. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Why do you have long hair? Is there a reason why you have long hair?
I want to donate it.
So you grown your hair out so you can donate it. And yeah. Some kids came by and said you look like a girl.
Yeah.
How'd it make you feel, man?
It made me feel sad.
Did you say anything back to them, or did you just like let it roll off your back?
I let it roll off my back.
That's a good thing. I'm glad you didn't get angry.
His father-son video has 100,000 views in 7 days.
You think that's bullied?
No.
No? Do you think you're the only person that gets bullied?
No.
No? Do you think by telling people your story, it helps you feel better about it? Maybe you can help someone else feel better?
Yeah.
You want to know something secret?
What?
Daddy gets made fun of sometimes too.
Yeah, I know, because you tattoos.
Yeah. People look at me and they're like, look at that guy with all the tattoos on his neck and in his hands and stuff.
Well, I think it's cool.
You think it's cool I have tattoos?
Yeah.
Bodie's father, Isaac, has a message to share with parents as well. I would encourage parents to listen to their kids and help them understand that they have the strength and courage to overcome the hurt of verbal bullying. Old school, we used to say, sticks and stones break my bones. Names will never hurt me. And sticks and stones will break your bones, by the way. They only have the power over you that you allow them to have in your heart. In other words, people can't hurt you if you're not hurt by it. People can say something mean to you, but if you let it roll off your back, I've been called a few names since I started this podcast, you just let it roll off your back. Goes with the territory. It's a smart guy. It's a good parent.
I think being different is a good thing.
Yeah.
You think different than other people?
I think being different is a good thing. It means you think different than other people.
Dude, that makes me so happy you just said that.
Boom. Parenting for the win! Isn't that a good thing? So many of you that listen to this podcast are parents. It's never easy. Sometimes you got to be the tough guy. Sometimes you pat them in the back. Sometimes you have to hold them accountable. Sometimes you let it slide. A loving parent comes in so many different forms. That's my, what do they call that when you don't pay for software and you just download the free version? That's the free version timing out. I'll have to reboot that in a second, so hang on a second. The next piece of audio I was going to play is on there. I know. I downloaded it 5 years ago, and someday, I don't know. There's just something cool about getting some for free once in a while. So, yeah, very cool parenting. In a similar story, this is just a guy giving a speech at the American Institute for the Stuttering. Now, you want to talk about people being picked on. Anybody that had a stutter growing up. Oh. Now, a lot of them, of course, now there's so many different vocal training techniques and mind altering techniques that people overcome stutters quite often. Maybe not all the time. It's very rare to see an adult that stutters anymore. But early on, children. This is a young guy for the next 90 seconds that's going to tell you his story.
I was a very, very, very weird child. Very weird child. And I had a Port Wine stain birthmark on my face that I got lasered off when I was very young. And one day they forgot to put the anesthetic on.
Basically, he's talking about he had a birthmark on the side of his face that he had lasered off. These people that talk like this, it's not always easy to understand what the fuck's saying. It's like Brad Pitt in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Or is it four? I lost track.
And then ever since then, I had a stutter. And I also had very, very big blue NHS glasses. And the thing that I...
Young redhead kid. We're looking at maybe a three-year-old picture here. About three-year-old. Huge glasses. We used to call them Coke bottle lenses. Imagine, you know, because some kids are born the athlete and some girls are born the pretty girl. And you always say, like, they've got it made. No, that's a different story. And they, believe me, nobody goes through life without struggle in some way or another. So this is this young lad, 3, maybe 4 years old in that photo. Okay, now you know, I'm going to let it roll.
I had a Port Wine stain birthmark on my face that I got lasered off when I was very young. And one day they forgot to put the anesthetic on. And then ever since then, I had a stutter. And I also had very, very big blue NHS glasses. And the thing that I found most difficult about it was knowing what to say, but not really being able to express it in the right way. So I did different speech therapies and stuff, which wasn't very successful. At a young age, and got very, very into rap music. And my dad bought me the Marshall Mathers LP when I was 9 years old.
It's funny how he calls him Marshall Mathers.
Not knowing what was on it.
So, what kind of music do you like? Eminem. Oh, candies. You spin that son of a bitch and every other thing's an F-bomb. As a little kid listening to Eminem. But listen... how he describes it. I'm sorry I'm interrupting, but you have to understand, we do not have a visual medium here. So, and this man does have an accent. So will you back it up and let it roll again?
Knowing what to say, but not really being able to express it in the right way. So I did different speech therapies and stuff, which wasn't very successful. At a young age, and got very, very into rap music. And my dad bought me the Marshall Mathers LP when I was 9 years old, not knowing what was on it, and let me listen to it. And I learned every word of it back to front. It helped me get rid of the stutter. Stuttering is not a thing you have to be worried about at all. And even if you have quirks and weirdness, you shouldn't be worried about that. Just be yourself, because there's no one in the world that can be a better you than you. And if you try to be the cool kid from class, you'll end up being very boring. And be yourself, embrace your quirks. Being weird is a wonderful thing. Don't ever treat it as an issue, and don't see it as a plight on your life, and carry on pushing forward. And I did all right. You can do all right as well. Nice one. Thank you.
We're all quirks. Remember Bill Murray's speech in Stripes? We're all dog faces. We're all mutts. So yet another inspirational story. So many people overcome so many things. Just remember, I don't know what you're going through. I know quite a few of you that I see on Facebook just got out of ICU, struggling with my insomnia. These are different people. Still trying to fight my cancer. I love you guys. Don't stop fighting. Don't. Seriously. Remember, you're not alone. Whatever your struggles are, I bet they're legit. I bet they hurt. I bet they frustrate you. I bet they make you angry. Don't give up. I've had 3 people I know on Facebook commit suicide in the last year. One was terminally ill, and I'm not gonna speak bad about her, because she was a tough son of a bitch when she was alive. She decided to take her way out. Pancreatic cancer. She had beaten breast cancer. She decided to cash it in. I don't know. Maybe that's me someday. I've had that conversation with people. If I get stage 4, if somebody's telling me, Scott, I don't care how much cannabis oil you consume, you're done in a matter of weeks or days or months. My sister got that diagnosis and was dead 7 weeks later. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about depression. I'm talking about sadness. I'm talking about being brokenhearted or losing your finances or going whatever you're going through right now. Just don't feel alone. remember, when you listen to an inspirational story, it inspires you to keep fighting. And believe me, these stories get a little heavier. But that's a young kid who overcame. And what is he doing? He is up giving a speech. Someone who had a stutter is in front of an entire society of people giving a speech. How's that for a 180? That's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Let me see here. I got so many good ones, but we're going to go in different directions here. And I don't want to do politics. We're not doing politics, but I wanted to play what I think is an amazing exchange between the typical mainstream media reporter sitting in a room with a microphone, going up against an independent Canadian journalist, talking about Syria, talking about the truth versus what the mainstream media feeds you in the military-industrial complex. It's the only political one tonight. But the reason I want to play it is because this woman decided that she didn't want to take a paycheck from somebody. She found it far more important, not just probably, you know, believe me, being able to say what is the real reality, being able to say that's a lie, being able to publicly declare that as a journalist, or at least put it out there so people can make up their own mind, the truth, the reality, the real information. You know what, 1 in 100? Maybe 1 in 1,000 nowadays? Well, here's one of them. And this is a so-called reporter asking her a question. And I'm pretty sure it's, they pretty much nailed the English language here. And I don't think I have to do anything. But just the backbone, and the, every time I see an independent journalist who does what they do, I don't feel as alone. I don't feel like, holy shit, it seems everybody's on the take. No one's got character anymore. Nobody has honor. Nobody cares. They just like, pay me and I'll say what you want. Well, not this lady.
When you talk about the Syrian people and what the Syrian people want, how can you quantify that? Do you have any independent surveys where you can actually document that? And secondly, you talk about the corporate media, the Western media, the lies, and all of this. Could you explain what you think might be the agenda from us in the Western media, and why we should lie, why the international organizations on the ground should lie, why we shouldn't believe all these absolutely documentable facts that we see from the ground, these hospitals being bombed, these civilians who are talking about the atrocities that they have been experiencing. How can you justify calling all of us liars?
He spends, you see how he just, see? Oh, you don't mind being called, he's like, he literally tries to ensnare her and corner her with the typical, oh, really? Well, how come these 99 reporters say this? And she bitch slaps his lame ass.
Thank you.
I mean, there are certainly honest journalists amongst the very compromised establishment media. Let's start with your second question. So, international organizations on the ground. Tell me which ones are on the ground in Eastern Aleppo.
No.
Yeah, okay, I'll tell you, there are none. There are none. These organizations are relying on the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, which is based in Coventry, UK, and which is one man. They're relying on compromised groups like the White Helmets, which, let's talk about the White Helmets. The White Helmets were founded in 2013 by a British ex-military officer. They have been funded to the tune of $100 million by the US, UK, and Europe, and other states. They purport to be rescuing civilians in Eastern Aleppo and Idlib, yet no one in Eastern Aleppo has heard of them. And I say no one, bearing in mind that now 95% of these areas of Eastern Aleppo are liberated. The White Helmets purport to be neutral, yet they can be found carrying guns and standing on the dead bodies of Syrian soldiers. And their video footage actually contains children that have been recycled in different reports. So you can find a girl named Aya who turns up in a report in month, say, August, and she turns up in the next month in two different locations. So they are not credible. The SOHR is not credible. Unnamed activists are not credible. Once or twice, maybe, but every time, not credible. So your sources on the ground, you don't have them.
Bam! Bam! Knowledge is power, bitch. I love people with a backbone. I love people with a backbone. And I know some people think I'm saying, you know, stand up for your, if you lean right or stand up. I'm really not referring to you. Because if any part of what you believe or tout is simply a belief or something your grandpa's grandpa passed on down to you, and it's not based in truth, but you defend it, you know, with every ounce of your being, I'm not talking about your backbone. I'm talking about people that go, I want the goddamn truth. I don't care what I believe. I don't care what you believe. I want to know what's really happening. And those people are few and far between. And there should be more. And there are more than there used to be. And there's going to be more and more and more. Because this woman is going to inspire some 13-year-old girl goes, you know what? I want to do what she's doing, Mom. That's why when you live your life and you make a decision that isn't easy, where someone makes fun of you, where you stand up for somebody else. Remember the movie My Bodyguard, 1980? Google it. Then you inspire that person standing right next to you going, you know what? That person's right. This is wrong. And I'm going to do something about it. Now, we protests go in different directions, we know, and all different groups protest. But the heart of the protest and why someone is upset about it, I don't care what it is. You know, a lot of people that lean right don't want women protest. You know, I'm not going political here tonight. What I am going is, you know what? Stand up for what you believe in. At least stand up for it. Don't get violent. Don't be abusive of others, but at least defend it. Now, this woman just undressed him with one question. Let's go to the next one.
As for your agenda, not your, but the agenda of some corporate media, it is the agenda of regime change. How can the New York Times, I was reading it this morning, or how can Democracy Now!, which I was reading the other day, maintain until this day that this is a civil war in Syria? How can they maintain until this day that there were that the protests were unarmed and nonviolent until, say, 2012? That is absolutely not true. How can they maintain that the Syrian government is attacking civilians in Aleppo when every person that's coming out of these areas occupied by terrorists is saying the opposite? How do I quantify the support of the Syrian people? The elections. In 2014, the Syrian people held elections. The point being, overwhelmingly, the people support President Assad. There are people that want change in the government. We're not pretending they don't want change. Everybody wants change. But in terms of support of the government, the point is they don't see President Assad as the problem. They see the problem as terrorism. They see elements of problems in the system that they have there. But President Assad, they don't see as the problem. They actually overwhelmingly support him. So I'm basing it on their choice in their leader, and I'm basing it on my interactions with people in Syria.
Boom. Next question. Wouldn't it be great? And I mean, I'm dreaming out loud here. Wouldn't it be? By the way, that's, oh God, that's such a side story, but wouldn't it be great if at least one person at every news organization was not told what to say, not worried about whether advertisers would leave the television station if you ran that specific report about their, oh, geez, oh, so-and-so just polluted the lake. Well, you can't run that story. They're one of our sponsors. You know, that kind of shit. Wouldn't it be great? It would be like a Hunger Games. Like, one reporter gets to tell you the truth per agency. Well, that lady just bitch-slapped 100 other reporters in a room because she's not tethered. I don't know how she makes her living. Maybe she works on donations. Maybe she's purely independent. I don't know. But you know what? All she was concerned about is, what is the truth that can help more people? Period. What is the truth? So bless her. Bless her for doing that. Let's shift gears a little bit. This is a story that I found not only cute, but moving, and it reminded me of the same thing that I try to apply to myself on a daily basis. It's
basically called patience. It's pretty neat.
Another inspirational short story read by Michelle Grigsby. This is a sweet lesson on patience. A New York City taxi driver told the following story. I arrived at the address and honked the horn. After waiting a few minutes, I honked again. Since this was going to be my last ride of my shift, I thought about just driving away, but instead I put the car in park and walked up to the door and knocked. Just a minute, answered a frail, elderly voice. I could hear something being dragged across the floor. After a long pause, the door opened. A small woman in her 90s stood before me. She was wearing a print dress and a pillbox hat with a veil pinned on it, like somebody out of a 1940s movie. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. The apartment looked as if no one had lived in it for years. All the furniture was covered with sheets. There were no clocks on the walls, no knickknacks or utensils on the counters. In the corner was a cardboard box filled with photos and glassware. Would you carry my bag out to the car, she said. I took the suitcase to the cab, then returned to assist the woman. She took my arm and we walked slowly toward the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. It's nothing, I told her. I just tried to treat my passengers the way I would want my mother to be treated. Oh, you're such a good boy, she said. When we got into the cab, she gave me an address and then asked, could you drive through downtown? It's not the shortest way, I answered quickly. Oh, I don't mind, she says. I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice. I looked in the rearview mirror. Her eyes were glistening. I don't have any family left, she continued in a soft voice. The doctor says I don't have very long. I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. What route would you like me to take? I asked. For the next 2 hours, we drove through the city. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she'd ask me to slow in front of a particular building or corner and would sit staring into the darkness, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was creasing the horizon, she suddenly said, I'm tired, let's go now. We drove in silence to the address she had given me. It was a low building, like a small convalescent home, with a driveway that passed under a portico. Two orderlies came out to the cab as soon as we pulled up. They were solicitous and intent, watching her every move. They must have been expecting her. I opened the trunk and took the small suitcase to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. How much do I owe you? She asked, reaching into her purse. Nothing, I said. You have to make a living, she answered. There are other passengers, I responded. Almost without thinking, I bent and gave her a hug. She held on to me tightly. You gave an old woman a little moment of joy, she said. Thank you. I squeezed her hand and then walked into the dim morning light. Behind me, a door shut. It was the sound of the closing of life. I didn't pick up any more passengers that shift. I drove aimlessly, lost in thought. For the rest of that day, I could hardly talk. What if that woman had gotten an angry driver, or one who was impatient to end his shift? What if I had refused to take the run, or had honked once and then driven away? On a quick review, I don't think that I had done anything more important in my life. We're conditioned to think that our lives revolved around great moments, but great moments often catch us unaware, beautifully wrapped in what others may consider a small one.
Pretty powerful stuff, huh? You know, me and how I'm always looking at the near-death experience is essentially, at least in my opinion anyway, the closest thing we have of someone or people who have seen the other side, gotten so close to death or died, you know, what they call, not therapeutically, medically declared dead, you know, no heartbeat, no brain wave activity, nothing, you know, 5, 6, 10, 15. It's been people that were on slabs in morgues that came back to life and described stories. And so many times they have that life review.
And so many times they said the same thing. I used to think my life was all about, you know, big achievement here or doing that. And when I was shown my life, I was shown all the tiny little things I did that mattered. Opening a door for an old person and waiting 5 minutes or 5 seconds. I do it all the time. When I open doors, I'll open a door for someone walking down the sidewalk to get in the convenience store. I go, no. It's, boom. I saw you coming. I look around me. Makes me feel good. Puts a smile on their face. I always look them right in the eye when they say thank you. And I go, you're welcome. Boom. Just a little, it's like the little things you do. Had a bad day, but you still smile and kiss your kids. And the moment you see them, you take all that anger and frustration and you bury it somewhere and you just make their moment. The tiny little things you do every day, the motivational things that you can do. It is circular in design. I'm not convinced of it. I'm absolutely know it. That when you do something for another person, you feel good. You make them feel good. It's not so you'll feel good, but the way that cycle of energy goes, it does. It's infectious. It's fun. The more you do it, the more you crave it. Maybe it's a brain drug. I don't know. But all I know is it feels nice to be nice. Not easy. Guy cut me off in traffic today. I get it. But that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is rising above those moments. You know what? Man, I got a speech I want to play you, but I think I'd rather do this video first. Now, this is one of those top tens. And let me find it. Don't tell me I deleted it. Boom, 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 boom. You know what? I'll tell you, let's do this one. I love this little kid. I got a lot of stuff to play you today. Hang on. Probably a free ad coming. Yep, there he is. I can quit the ad in 5, 4, 3, 2. Skipping the ad, pausing it. I'm going to describe how this young kid looks. He will tell you the way he was born and the operations he had to go through. But just picture a young, obviously, boy with one full leg and half of leg on the other side. And he's got one of those really cool spring kind of things that they run on. Okay, that's his leg. And he'll describe, I think it's his left hand, where he was born with only one finger, and it's kind of almost not a finger. So what they decided to do was take a toe from his amputation, or maybe it's his functioning foot, and turn that into a thumb. So picture his left hand is really a disformed finger and a toe as a thumb. And he has to go through all the rehab to figure out how he can use it eventually to grasp, where the nerve endings are finally talking to the brain and so on. So now you know the physical dimensions of this kid. During this entire story, I'm going to let this roll because this kid's awesome. Picture him, okay, you ready? Playing soccer. Playing basketball with other kids the same age, and he's pretty darn good. All right, you guys ready? Let's let it roll.
What was different about your body when you were born?
I was actually born with one finger on my left hand and a full left leg, but it was curved. I had surgery when I was 2.5 years old to remove the part that was curved, so I had a stump that they could put a prosthetic leg on. And then they took the big toe from that and they put it on my left hand, so I have two fingers. I did tons of physical therapy to try to get my new finger to work like a real finger and not like a toe. I was always trying to figure out how to bring them together and how to get them to come together and touch. And I was sitting in the shower and it touched. And it was amazing. I was running around the house screaming, yay, I did it! Because
imagine that. Sitting there with
you know, a functionally full hand, and the other one where you have to do all that work. You know, it's just amazing. When you see nature, when you see a bird with one leg just out there living life, it's got to do what it's got to do. Children are like that. They realize, you know, they have a disability or they're different or all those things. But as long as they have a support group around them, they have, it just seems like, it's not that they're shrugging it off, but they're like, okay, what else am I supposed to do? Nothing? So it's, I don't know why I'm so inspired by young children that fight. Because I have friends that are in fights right now that are my age or a little bit younger. But this little son of a bitch, man, he's out there playing soccer. The music's a little hot. I know sometimes when people produce these things, what happens is they bury the volume. I mean, they bury the vocal, and it makes them real hot. But I hope you can hear what he's saying. He's pretty articulate, and I think I want to let it go. Because just picture all the video you hear and see is basically this young little guy running around playing soccer and basketball.
That was like the first milestone.
Do you feel different than other kids?
Sometimes I do. People do stare and whisper. I'll be thinking, like, there's tons of kids in this world. How did he happen to choose me to be one of the kids that had to get their leg taken away? And I asked God, like, can you please give me a leg? Somehow, some way. Well, then I have to think, I was born like this. I can't change it. And when I play sports, I don't feel different. I don't think about anything else. I just think about what's happening in the game.
Would you say sports have become a ritual for you?
Yes, because I feel like if I don't play sports every day, I feel weird. I've always felt like sports is where I can go when I'm sad or lonely or anything. I love competition. I love the feeling of...
He's playing quarterback, throwing a football.
I love being under pressure and everything. When I'm playing sports, I go from thinking about all the other things to game mode. When I'm in the zone, I feel like I have this, like, fire around me. And then the flames pop up and have this circle around it. So any thoughts that try to come in and they get burned by the fire and they don't let in.
Do you feel you have to work harder than other kids?
Oh, yes. I bet kids, when they take a step, oh, I took a step, big deal. For me, when I take a step, I say, oh, no big deal. But I thought about every little bit. I put so much pressure on my body from being in a prosthetic all day. I come home, I'm like dying from back pain. And I have to stretch before I go to bed every night.
So how do you stay positive?
I have to think about what I have instead of what I don't have. I have a great life. I have a great family. I have great legs. I have great friends. I have a great school. I could go on for years. I'm just grateful that I have so many things that are great in my life. There's lots of challenges in people's life, and that's a little wall right there. So I try to break down that wall. If I'm just running around, like playing soccer or shooting the layup, I don't think about it. I don't feel different when I'm playing sports because that takes me away from my disability, but it's a good thing that I'm born like this. I've learned to be confident in myself. I've learned how to be strong.
He's running hurdles. He's running on a track. Running hurdles.
Firefighters see difficult things every day.
Interesting stuff, huh? I know this podcast is not visual in nature, but if you could see that kid's face just light up. Well, he's like driving in for a layup. I mean, he's playing basketball with everybody else, and they got all their arms and legs. And he's draining three-pointers. Well, you know, got a nice little jump shot going. Good stuff. The next thing I want to play is inspirational in nature. It's actually very, very old.
it is political in nature because it's about soldiers and war. But it's always been one of my favorite speeches in a movie ever since I found it, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. Now, Charlie Chaplin, of course, is a world-famous actor, but he was famous, more famous anyways, for silent movies. Later on, of course, I didn't even realize, I didn't know that much about Charlie Chaplin growing up, but it's not like I was a big Chaplin fan. But later on, he did, as they used to call him, the talkies. Movies with sound. So this isn't about Charlie Chaplin inspiration. This is about the words in this speech. It is political in nature, but it has a lot to do with the human spirit. When I think of the human spirit, I think, where are we versus where can we be? Can we do better? Of course we can. Now, remember, this has always happened. You know, a long time ago, living in caves and throwing spears and before fire in the Bronze Age. The human spirit always pushes us to say, we can do better. I don't know who invented the wheel, but I'd like to own that patent. I am tired of dragging rocks up this fucking hill. And then he sees a little pebble roll down the hill. And he goes, wow, rolling. He probably didn't have a word for it yet. Decides to find a round stone and push it and see what happens. And bam, light bulbs. Better life. Well, this is always going to be the driving force. And it's I don't know, call it the human spirit. Call it whatever you want. Consciousness. The desire to be lazier and have more stuff. Somebody invented the wheel. Well, that human spirit, and this is why so many of the vets are kind of fucked up, as the show I did last week is about, is I don't personally feel, and I think a lot of you can at least chime in, I don't think we're born to kill each other. I don't think that. There's a competitive nature. And maybe that competitive nature, a long time ago, were tribes fighting over a dead, mammoth. I get that. But it is 2017. But this goes back to 1940. Okay, this is before World War II. This is actually right about at the beginning of World War II. This is before, I should say, this is about before the United States entered World War II. Because right around this time, there was stuff going on in Europe between Germany and a few countries. But we weren't officially in the war, of course, till later on with Japan. This is Charlie Chaplin.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. I don't want to rule or conquer anyone. I should like to help everyone if possible. Jew, Gentile, black man, white. We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery. We don't want to hate and despise one another. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent, and all will be lost. The aeroplane and the radio have brought us closer together. The very nature of these inventions cries out for the goodness in men, cries out for universal brotherhood, for the unity of us all. Even now, my voice is reaching millions throughout the world, millions of despairing men, women, and little children, victims of a system that makes men torture and imprison innocent people. To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't give yourselves to brutes, men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, and what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder.
Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You are not machines. You are not cattle. You are men. You have the love of humanity in your hearts. You don't hate. Only the unloved hate. The unloved and the unnatural. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery. Fight for liberty. In the 17th chapter of St. Luke it is written, the kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men, but in all men, in you. You, the people, have the power. The power to create machines. The power to create happiness. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful, to make this life a wonderful adventure. Then in the name of democracy, let us use that power. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, a decent world. That will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason. A world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
Who knew a guy that was famous for not talking at all could be that engaging as a speaker? I know he's an actor playing a role, but I don't know who wrote that dialect, but I know Chaplin obviously was passionate about delivering it, and it's true. We're not born to kill each other. I mean, when you're defending something, and I don't want to get political, so I got to be careful here today. What I want to say is we have yet to reach our potential. We never will. That's the fun part. You know, we've got all the way down to quantum mechanics and you know, transistor radios used to be about as big around as, let's say, your phone. And now it's just a tiny, tiny chip that you could fit on your fingernail, on the pinhead, on the top of a pinhead. So technology's way is moving rapidly, but our hearts need to catch up. And I think that's really what's happening. I think the renaissance that is taking place right now in the world is about, it's information-based, but we're redefining. We're learning more. It's like going through a difficult truth. The opposite end of that is a good thing. Watching a country bottom out is not fun. Knowing the bottoming out will create the new renaissance is okay with me. That's why I'm not emotionally attached to political movements. I see them all. I like to think I look at the big picture because that's the foundation for me, that I am a spiritual being in a temporary realm. And now that I'm here, I'm enjoying it, but I'm questioning it. And hopefully, whatever tiny little grain of sand I can add to it, I'm helping create a change in the right direction. And that's what tonight's show is about. It's about being inspired. I don't know what your inspiration is. I really don't. But I hope you got one. You want to talk about a group of young people that got this right. When I heard this story, I leaned back in my chair. I welled up a little bit, and I just, you know, you do the fist pump. Like, yeah. Here we go.
An inspiring story out of Kenosha. A student being bullied at a junior high school basketball game caught the attention of the basketball players.
And those players walked off the court to defend her.
Michelle Fiore reports from Kenosha.
Well, this is where it all happened for Desiree Andrews. As she was being bullied from these stands, a couple of boys on the basketball team said, enough's enough. And that's where this bullying situation turned her life around. Desiree Andrews no longer walks to class alone. Students have been drawn to her after a situation that could have taken away this pretty smile.
She has Down syndrome.
The kids in the audience were picking on Dee, so we all stepped forward.
Andrews has Down syndrome. These three boys were in the middle of a game when they heard something upsetting directed at one of their cheerleaders, a girl who dances to her own beat.
So when I heard that they're talking about her, like, it kind of like made me mad.
Basketball players stepped to action, walked off the court, and asked the bully to stop.
She is a cheerleader. About 17, 18 cheerleaders in her. Not all young kids are punks. And some teachers, and especially the parents of these children you hear about. Yes. Yes.
Basketball players stepped to action, walked off the court, and asked the bully to stop.
It's not fair when other people get treated wrong because we're all the same. We're all created the same. God made us the same way.
Dee and the boys are now eighth graders and last night played their last game in the gymnasium that they have affectionately dedicated to their friend.
Are they calling it something special?
Yeah.
What is it?
Dee's house.
Dee's house?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Good.
The athletic director tells us the name has stuck. He's planning to make a banner officially calling the gym Dee's House.
See what I mean when I said earlier that, you know, you, Facebook and Twitter and the trolls and the angry people and the people that are, you know, I mean, there's, you know, there's 2 a.m. Jack Daniels tweets. Fuck you. Yeah, what do you think of me now? Click send. But there are people that just have that venom in them. You know them. I bet right now as you're listening to this podcast, there's 2 or 3 people that you personally know. And you go, yeah. But so many of us care. We care. Sometimes I have a day where I am at 100% and I can care about everything and everyone. And some days, my life has been boom, boom, boom. You know, a little bit behind the ropes. And right then and there, I can't seem so concerned about other people. I got to kind of cocoon a little and you take care of yourself. That's okay. That's part of the process. You got to take care of you. But, you know, I don't know if they had to go as far as naming the gym Dee's House. I'm just picturing someone going, Dee's nuts. I know my listeners. But the story is about the three young guys that were in the middle of playing a game. And they're in the middle of the game. They're playing basketball. You're pretty, you know, if you've ever played sports, you're pretty locked in. And you turn around and you look and someone from the other team is making fun because one of the children, the cheerleaders is Dee and she has Down syndrome. You know what? Three kids either walked over to the coach or they walked over to the ref. But what they did was out fucking standing. They inspire. See, when you do something inspirational, you do it for the person, you do it for yourself. It feels good, but it rubs off. I love these stories. I love these stories.
Tells us the name has stuck. He's planning to make a banner officially calling the gym Dee's House.
What did your family think?
I think they're sweet, kind, and awesome, and amazing.
Sweet, awesome, kind, and amazing?
Yeah.
Well, Desiree's next step's high school. As for her future, she says she wants to be famous. We think she's already famous. In Kenosha, Michelle Fiore, today's...
You know how many of those stories are there that don't make the TV news? That maybe show up, you know, someone who sticks up. I saw a video the other day, and don't get me wrong. I don't watch world star hip hop videos unless they end up on my feed. But it was basically one kid trying to pick a fight with another kid, and the other kid was leaning against the fence. He was a little afraid. Well, in comes the guy who weighs about 100 pounds more and knocks the bully out. Boom! Now, I'm not a violent person, and I don't believe in violence, but if violence takes place in a positive, I don't know if there's positive violence, but the punch was thrown for the right reasons instead of the wrong ones. How about I put it that way? This next one is so visual in nature. And the first time I saw it, I remember blowing my nose for about 5 minutes. I don't watch these America's Got Talent or Australia's Got Talent or Europe's Got Talent. I don't watch these TV shows, but again, they end up on my feed most of the time, or at least some of the time. I'll click on them, and someone walks out there and you don't expect, and they have a 4-octave range and they sing Ave Maria, and talent is talent. Well, picture a little person, and I mean a little adult, who was born small with no arms. So she already has very short legs and feet, and she has no arms. Now, some of you have seen this video, so just humor me. But what I will do, I'm not stopping this performance, by the way, anywhere in the middle or mid, until we get to the end. But picture an entire audience, judges, people everywhere. All you see is people wiping their eyes. The reason being is because we can be so petty. I can bitch and, oh, God damn, Jesus, fucking cold. And, we have that tendency to complain. It's okay, blow off steam, but don't become a complainer on a regular basis. And don't become a troll. And don't become negative. And if you are negative, start looking at positives. It is effective. It's almost infective. The more you seek joy, the more you seek goodness in others, the more you find goodness in others, the more it brings it out in you. And I don't know what your upbringing is. I don't know what your background is. You might be miserable. You might be, just dead-end relationship. I'm not trying to make excuses for your sadness and pain. What I am saying is the more you look towards other things, the more it can and hopefully will motivate you to try. And this happens to me all the time. I'm driving down the road. I'm pissed or depressed or angry about something. When I get to the stoplight, I see someone with cerebral palsy and a walker walking down the sidewalk, spending 10 times the energy to take a step that I do. And when I look, I see it. I don't necessarily look up, because we always have a reference. Like if you speak to your creator, you look up. But I close my eyes for a second and I say, thank you. Thank you for reminding me how good my life is. This is a very short performance, but damn if it's not absolutely breathtaking. Remember, no arms, playing the piano with her feet, and singing. I'll see you in a few minutes.
Nu mai trebuie să te întreb cum te cheamă. Câți ani ai, Lorelai?
14 ani.
Bun, Lorelai, ce ne-ai pregătit?
Voi cânta în această seară vocal și la pian.
Vocal și la pian?
Da.
Cum va cânta la pian?
She just told me I play the piano. What is your talent? I play the piano.
La pian cu... Cum vei cânta la pian? Iartă-mă că...
Cu degetele de la picioare.
Incredibil, incredibil. Părinții tăi sunt aici?
Incredible.
Mami Vio, da.
Mami Vio?
Da.
Bine atunci. Cred că are și ea emoții, da. Și noi suntem...
Mami, stai puțin. De ce? E foarte rar să-i spui unei mame și numele, prenumele. De ce îi spui Mami Vio?
There's no translation.
Pentru că eu am fost abandonat de la
basically
naștere.
They're interviewing her at this point. Remember, this is not a young child. This is a grown woman.
But
it's a grown... It's a grown woman who's only basically a little person. Basically a little person. Introducing her either manager or parents. I'm not sure. Oh, that's, I'm sorry. I think it's her piano teacher. That's right. It's her piano teacher. By the way, before we start this, if you help another person, if you use your skill set to inspire another person or another person that admires you, I have young people getting into broadcasting from time to time contact me, and I give them the realities of the business, but I always encourage them. I'm currently doing that right now with a very young, cool man, 20 years old, completely blind, wants to get into radio. And we talk, not weekly, but semi-weekly. And all I can say is it's Trent's a badass. He loves what he does. He has the passion for it. And I'm glad to be one of his mentors. Talk to you in a few minutes.
Abia aștept să te ascult. Succes!
I bet after listening to this podcast, you don't complain for at least 24 hours. I love the word reverence. It's one of my favorites. It means you revere things, people, places, memories, struggles. It's awesome. Because if you can revere, that means you're finding hope. That means you're not giving up. You're fighting. And you also have enough wisdom to look at the struggles in your life. I was talking to Kelly about this the other night. I said, I'm not glad that I've struggled because the radio industry caved in and I've had my own struggles. But I am glad what it turned me into. I don't look forward to struggling, but it's toughened me, rounded me out, broadened me. Now, we have struggles in our life, but I have two arms, and my legs work. And you've already heard a couple stories about people that are absolutely have absolutely risen above. And this isn't some preachy kind of show. This kind of show is about overcoming and finding some joy. Even, I don't care if you're lonely and you're not married and you, you know, believe me, I see so many people putting some very sad posts in social media, and my heart kind of breaks for them a little bit, and all I can think to myself is I hope they keep trying. That's all you can do. And some people need to vent, and they do. Here's another one. Actually, you know what? When it comes to motivational speakers, was there anyone better than Martin Luther King Jr.? I don't know. So before we get to a couple other stories of people overcoming, let's say, the physicalities of the world, why don't we kind of tag on to the Charlie Chaplin speech with MLK? Now, this is the short version of his speech, of course. The regular one ran on the Washington Mall. I have a dream. I like to say dream out loud. Dream out loud. Talk to you in a few.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is a faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. And this will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
I'm a dreamer. I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one.
Not the only one.
I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one.
They're called Pentatonix, or Pentatix, Pentatonix. During that video, they hold the various cards that say words on them. Everything from human to, you know, basically bridging the gaps. Those little cue cards that have a word or two or a phrase on them. You know, I think if John Lennon were alive today and he were still making royalty, you know, payments, you know, every time someone sings his song or wants to record a song, I bet, you know what, he'd say, you know what, you guys do that one for free. You get it. And our next story is, not only did I find this a little funny and very cool, very, very cool. You know how much of a cannabis activist I am when it comes to the plant and its sister plant, hemp. Don't forget to learn more about that, by the way, because that's an economy waiting to happen as well. Food, fuels, fibers, hemp. Learn more about it. So when people talk about cannabis, and try to call it cannabis instead of weed. Now, it's kind of funny because the video I'm going to play for you right now, I saw it this morning and I was like, oh, this is probably one of the coolest videos I've seen in such a long time. But yeah, the more you know about cannabis and its cousin, the better off we are. Never smoke pot for the rest of your life. I don't care. It's not about your personal use, or it's about the truth behind it versus the propaganda behind it. And you want to know what breaks down barriers? This sounds like the opening to a joke. A priest, a rabbi, and an atheist walk into a hash bar. And this is exactly what this is. It's not a hash bar. But from left to right, a rabbi, a priest in the middle, and I believe he's gay. Yes, a gay atheist man on the right. And what are they all going to do? They're going to smoke some bong hits. You'll hear, I think, a bell ring. Basically, it starts at zero, and then it goes to 15 minutes later, 20 minutes later, that kind of thing. Or maybe it does. I can't remember if there's an audio to it. It runs a little long, but let me tell you, folks, the inspiration behind this, that three people, I mean, you have someone who doesn't believe in God at all or has chosen not to. You have someone who does it from the Christian angle, and you have someone who does it from the Jewish. And remember, Judeo-Christian aren't exactly miles apart, but great video.
You want me to do it again?
One more clap, you guys? Perfect.
All right.
Introduce yourself, please.
Introduce yourself.
My name is Jim Morrell. I'm a rabbi. I'm here to experience one of God's creations. I have smoked marijuana many years ago. I haven't done it for a while.
I'm Chris Schuler. I'm an Episcopal priest. Never smoked it all that much, probably more in high school.
My name's Carlos Dillard. I'm a conservative homosexual atheist.
That's, you know, that's waking up in the morning going, okay, I'm conservative, but I'm gay, and I'm an atheist. That's a backpack. That's like, you know, like when you walk around, you got a couple of issues, or, you know, or what you define yourself as, not issues, but I'm this. It's a conservative gay man who also identifies as an atheist. And it's kind of funny because right now the priest is looking at him like, seriously?
I grew up Southern Baptist, part of my life in foster care, and then I grew up part of my life adopted as a Roman Catholic. So this is going to be really interesting.
When's the last time you smoked marijuana?
The last time
Maybe
smoked?
Like an hour or so.
What does your religion say about marijuana? Is it okay to smoke marijuana?
I would say the majority of people who self-identify as Christians, they're probably not too down on smoking marijuana. There's no biblical precident for this, really, although I have to say, you know, I've known thousands of Episcopalians and plenty of them smoke dope.
You call it weed now. You, like, smoking dope is like smoking, like,
yeah,
like dope. Like,
okay.
I was like, they're
smoking
dope.
We're talking about weed here.
Okay.
Let me change that to weed.
They distribute the bong. Have you seen the one with the grandparents, the grannies all smoking weed? That's kind of neat stuff. So, this video starts good and gets better.
I'd actually need some coaching. I
got you.
Put some of this in here.
No. Just kind of like want to crunch that all up.
If it's like everything else in life, it won't take much for me to be like, you know, stoned out of my gourd. Hold it.
Hold it, and then you're going to light it at the same time.
Showing them how to do the bong hit. With a carburetor. Took a tiny hit. Took a tiny hit.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Okay, I'm on the coughing break now.
Hey, you don't get off until you cough.
Thank you.
Good for you.
My lungs are not used to smoke. Now, that was impressive.
5 minutes later.
This is kind of cool. I'm smoking with some priests and a rabbi. Check off my bucket list.
That is a bucket list, man. When you think about that, you know, you're like, all right, what do you want to do? I want to go to Red Rocks and see a band. I want to get high with a priest and a rabbi. That's a bucket list.
Feel a little something. Just a little slower.
A little slower. You just get a little bit slower.
Yeah. I also feel burning right here where it's so impossible to hit, inhale.
Oh, see, look.
I'm really
like
not
that.
Used to the smoke.
He's not a quitter. Take off.
By the way, the rabbi's a little bit more experienced, man. The rabbi's got a blunt. He's working it on his own. Meanwhile, the priest is like, you know, had one hit, coughed a little bit. But the rabbi's like, man, you can't hold your smoke, bitch.
Put it to you.
50
you come
later.
Through some challenges, right? Started off. As a religious person, at least
oh, yes,
you're
really
up
religious,
in a religious
school. Really religious, Catholic
so what,
school.
So what happened?
I was 14 years old, and my priest denied my confirmation. He actually said that the diocese excommunicated me for the church because I openly had gay sex acts in our school, which I did. I'm like, okay, so I started doing more research on God and what is God, and no one can't deny that someone brilliant did this.
Well,
but
who
I don't know who did it. Personally, I can't depend on one person, and that kind of sounds insane.
20 minutes later.
The truthfulness, the beauty, and the palpability of God is actually stronger than anything else in my life. I mean, it sounds corny, but all the stories say the same thing when you boil all trim all the fat.
No, there's no story. Science outdone all of those stories. I believe in the rules of religion, which was pretty much astrology. And it was a way of humans of understanding. And that's exactly what you're doing with religion. You're trying to justify a way to understand. Why would God put me into the life I was in for so long?
30 minutes.
Why are there 37,000 kids dying every day? That's not miraculous.
35 minutes.
I'm really high. Sorry. That was really strong. I took a really big hit.
I'm feeling a little something.
You are not alone. I like what you're saying. But
it's funny because the priest is like, he's brand new to it. But the rabbi's like, yeah, I got you. The rabbi's like sitting here. He's just hitting his own blunt. During the whole conversation, rabbis smoke a lot. I like this guy. Here we go.
Everything that you say about who you are, what your life is like, what you do, what you think, to me, that speaks about a person of faith. Because you have a basic faith in the world, in the universe. You do. And you might not call that God, but there's something inside of you that really is a spiritual person. I can tell. I just met you, but I can love you because
where
why? Because I see you. And the Bible says, when I see your face, I see the face of God.
I like that.
Jim, you've been holding that joint for a while. You need a light.
Yeah, light it up.
Yeah, they're giving him some shit because he was like, you know, puff, puff, pass. Yeah, oh, am I talking too long? You're not only talking too long, give me the joint. Jesus!
That is...
Jehovah!
Maybe this will work for all of us. Just think of God as all things true, knowing that we don't know all things.
Yeah, that's good.
50 minutes in.
You guys believe in life outside?
You guys believe in life outside of Earth. In other words, life on other planets.
If you look at the vastness of the universe, mathematically, there's no way that there aren't other creatures in this universe.
I agree with you.
Gotta be.
Gotta be. Every religion has something coming out of the sky. Like, what's the obsession with the sky?
55 minutes.
I like this guy.
I like this
Carlos,
guy too.
I like you. Maybe, you know, maybe it's the beginning of a friendship, right?
Yeah, I'll be your friend. I'm everybody's friend.
Yeah.
60 minutes.
Is marijuana mentioned in any holy books?
Is marijuana mentioned in any of the holy books? It's hard to hear the questions.
The anointing oil, as found in the book of Exodus, had some qualities that would elevate the person. And there is a theory that one of those was oil from the hemp plant. Historically, many people who've had mystical experiences, I think it's very likely that they were under the influence of some mind-altering substance.
Do you think more people should smoke?
Do you think most people should smoke pot?
More religious people.
What I would definitely like to see are all the weed laws changed to be just about the same exact thing as what beer and liquor are.
If it helps you become a better person, if it lifts you up, if it gives you something, a new view of life, it's a very positive thing.
God made dirt, dirt don't hurt. God made weed, weed don't make you bleed.
70 minutes.
Christmas today.
Ash Wednesday, and the way many practice, they take ash and put a cross on the forehead. We were talking about using the ash from the weed.
I'm okay with that because, you know, like, hey, I don't care.
So, Carlos?
So the priest got up, went over to the gay atheist man, conservative too. That's a crazy combo right there, let me tell you. That's like putting it all in a blender and seeing what comes out of it. And what they did was they took the ash from the cannabis that they had smoked, and the priest is putting a small cross on the forehead of this man. Now, I don't want to get into religious arguments here, but what you're seeing is barriers broken down. Boom. People see themselves in other people. That is the inspiration. That's the beauty right there.
You are dust, and to dust you shall return. Oh, look, these ashes have like a cool blue. Come on, look at that. My goodness. I'm in.
He's high. The priest is high. He's putting a little... And all of a sudden, he's seeing a reflection. I got to back that up just for a sec. That's funny. That's funny. I'm sorry.
About using the ash from the weed.
Listen to him describe the ash.
You know, like, hey, I don't care.
So, Carlos, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Oh, look, these ashes have like a cool blue. Come on, look at that. My goodness. Amen.
Amen. That came out all right, didn't it?
Thanks, Chris. Okay, you want me to do this? I don't know any prayers.
You just say your most loving thing. It'll
see that? Now he's going to, the gay conservative. I mean, I don't know. That guy is like, I'm going to call him Blender Man. Because you don't normally see a conservative gay atheist. You see a conservative, but they're usually not atheists, and they're probably not openly gay. So Carlos is about to take the ashes and do the same thing to the priest. And listen to what he says. He goes, I don't know any prayers. And listen to the priest says.
You are dust, and
I'm sorry,
dust.
Backed it up too far.
You shall return. Oh, look, these ashes have like a cool blue.
He's high.
Come on, look at that, my
that's
goodness.
That's awesome.
Amen.
Hey, do you guys listen to Pink Floyd?
Amen.
That came out all right, didn't it?
All right, Chris. listen
okay,
to what he says.
Okay, you want me to do this? I don't know any prayers.
You just say your most loving thing. It'll be good.
I just give out good vibes on these to you.
Amen.
And to everyone that you love.
You want me to give you a blessing?
Yes.
Please.
Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. May God bless you and keep you. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May God lift up God's spirit to you, and may God always surround you with shalom, with peace.
Amen.
I know that maybe for you the word God doesn't have that much meaning, but it has meaning for me, so if you can accept the blessing from God.
Sure, I sure can.
Yivarech Echad Adonai Vishmarecha. God bless you and keep you. Yar Adonai Paneh Melecha V'kunecha. And may God always surround you and bless you with peace. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
You know, Jew, when you said the word shalom, you gave me goosebumps.
See? It's a powerful word.
That must be.
Shalom is a good word. I really enjoyed being with you.
Yeah, I like you guys. Are really blessing. Cool.
Goodbye. The glow is happening.
I'm going to hit the bongo again.
I'll be the fire.
You know what? They're all done with their hug moment. You know what they're doing? They're going back to the pipe. The devil's lettuce, my ass. That's God's lettuce.
That would kill me. I'd be coughing for the next week.
You know what? It wouldn't be such a bad thing.
That macho thing that I just don't have when it comes to dope.
It's not dope.
Weed. I mean, weed. Did you guys know about my socks?
I saw weed on them earlier.
He's got socks on with pot leaves. The priest. How about that? You want inspiration? Break down a barrier to know a neighbor. I did a show two weeks ago with Justin, and believe me, I don't want the show to be anything other than inspirational. And I came away knowing more about Justin. Justin came away knowing more about me. He's going to follow his Christian beliefs, and I bless him in that. And I always say, you know me, guys, I'm not really concerned with what you believe in. I'm only concerned what it turns you into. Yeah, we've done quite a... Let's do this one next. A tattoo artist, a rather attractive young woman, I might add, just in case you're wondering. Great little two-minute story here. I knew one woman who was what they call a cutter, you know, going through the depression and cutting themselves with razor blades. Not during this part of her life, but later when I noticed all the scars on her arms, I was like, you're a cutter? She goes, I was. And we talked a little bit about things. But the scars are always there. And she's a little embarrassed by them now. Well, check out this woman right here, a tattoo artist who is covering up the self-harm scars with her own tattoos. What a cool story. I love it. Yeah, God, I think this might be my favorite show I've ever done ever. Here we go.
I was at a friend's party and I met a girl, and she put her sleeves up and she had some previous self-harm scars on her arm. She'd actually cut "don't eat" into her arm. It just broke my heart.
She actually cut the words "don't eat." Now, I know some people will make fun of people with anorexia, and they have a tendency to say those aren't real problems, but they are. They run deep into self-esteem, self-image, and I don't know what creates those people. I'm not a therapist, so I don't want to sit here and argue whether that's a real problem when teenage girls who had issues with their bodies chose not to eat, and we all know the story of anorexia. But when you start carving with a razor blade "don't eat" into your arm, I'd say you got some head issues going on. Now later on, these people obviously, thankfully and gratefully, turn things around, but the scars are still there. So what you have is a tattoo artist who met someone by accident, and the girl asked Whitney to, hey, how about I tattoo over your scars for you?
We did this floral piece on her arm and it masked all the scarring, and then...
I mean, by the way, I know it's not a visual medium, but these flowers and just what she did is absolutely amazing. They show the before and after, and all you see is these vertical or horizontal lines on the forearm. And now all you see is this amazing black and white art.
Her reaction was what inspired me to start the Scars Project.
It's so tough when they run music. It's called the Scars Project.
post on Facebook and Instagram saying that I was offering one free cover-up a week until the end of the year. I received over 2,000 emails pretty much in the first 2 weeks. People were just pouring their hearts out.
This is mostly the before and afters, and all I can say is I'm on the left, I'm looking at, wow, yeah, there's so many scars you can't count them all. And then on the other side of the after picture is this amazing Aztec art piece. So basically the story here is yet another person who took their skill set and decided to do something inspirational and, I'm sure, rewarding for both.
Started when I was a teenager. It was sort of reaching out for attention. A couple of years ago, I had a breakdown, a bit of a breakdown. I'd cut my wrists in front of my family. They diagnosed me with depression and anxiety. My whole life never felt I was good enough. Yeah.
Thank you. Just my head.
I didn't think I'd cry.
Today, the real scarring is very easy for me to cover.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Basically, the woman, obviously, as you heard, you know, this is a middle-aged woman now. This woman in her 40s who has the scars from a younger life and probably, in her eyes right now, almost a completely different life. But the scars remain, as they say in lots of different rock lyrics. Now she has a beautiful tattoo. And this woman's hugging. And I'm feeling the love.
Society is already so judgmental and already sets expectations on people. We don't need to be even harsher on those that have suffered depression. If anything, we should be helping them. You don't realize what happiness is within yourself until you do something for another person.
Bingo. I guess that's going to be the inspirational theme of this show, man. The warm and fuzzies aren't exclusive. Start small. That's what I did. I mean, believe me, I've been trying to do this my whole life, and I have my wonderful moments where I do something and I feel great. And I have other moments where I just become petty and I'm a little disappointed in myself. But it is circular. I truly believe what you send out, you receive. What you give, you get back. Please keep that in mind. All right, let's go back to a story. This is a little different. Again, I'm going to apologize for the idea that this is a podcast, but so much of some of these photos and images and videos are inspirational because they are visual in nature, of course. And here's another one. It's the intro to the video. Essentially, it's someone who had a joy. And when that joy threw him a curveball, they didn't give up.
In 1982, I was in a mountain climbing accident. And the result was that I suffered a frostbite to my legs. And after months of effort, my medical team was forced to amputate both of my biological limbs.
Lower limbs, basically, not the entire leg.
After the accident, I wanted to return to my expression, my passion in life, which was the vertical world of rock and ice climbing, vertical dance. And I set out to advance technology to achieve that goal. And I was successful. I was, after just 6 months, I returned to the wall, and I was climbing even better than I had achieved prior to the accident with biological limbs. This was inspirational for me because I realized the extraordinary capacity of technology to repair, to rehabilitate, and to even extend human expression. And as a young man, I imagined a future world where technology's so sophisticated that all disability could be eliminated. A world in which neural implants would allow the seeing impaired to have sight. A world in which body exoskeletons would allow the paralyzed to walk. A world in which the severely depressed could live life feeling light and free. That has set the tone for my life. I'm walking down that trajectory, those steps, developing technology, design, trying to eliminate my own disability and ultimately the disability of others. There's such a great power and importance to belief. If you believe deeply in something, if it's deeply profound, that belief, you can make it so. You can materialize it in the world. So I had a deep faith and belief that I would climb again, and I did. I had a deep belief that I would design bionic limbs to restore normal walking patterns, and I did. These things took many, many years of thought and effort and struggle, but I believed. I kept marching, I kept working, and I decided in my body and my mind to never stop until it was so. And it was so.
Knowing in their heart that someone had done it, that it's possible that they could do it. And I'm saying that if you know anybody that had some goal, some dream, something they wanted to do, and they did it, then I'm saying that you know in your heart that if someone has done it, then you can do it. It's possible. And that if someone can make their dream become a reality, then you can make your dream become reality.
I didn't invent this universe. Maybe on a metaphysical level, I'm part of that, but I understand dualities and yin and yang, and you won't know what warmth feels like till you've been cold. You won't know what happiness feels like until you've been sad. They coexist for a reason. Because without one, you can't have the other. And you, without having one, you cannot know the other in your own personal experience. Now, maybe on the other side of the veil, even dualities wash away. Over here in what we call our physical world and our plane, suffering has a purpose. If you realize it's about turning it around. It's not always easy. You're not supposed to wake up in the morning and sing zippity-doo-dah every day. But if you can find whatever inspires you, motivates you. Guy lost his limbs mountain climbing. What did he do? Oh, I'm going to invent bionic legs. And I did. I'm going to believe in myself. It's not a cakewalk. I don't ever remember anyone presenting it to me that way. Reach out, find your inspiration. It's there. You just got to seek it. Does it suck to lose a job? Does it suck to lose a relationship or a possession? Sure it does. That's a reality. It's a reality of the plane I live in. It's a reality of my emotional range. You know what? Like I said earlier, I'm not glad it happened. I'm just really glad of the person it sculpted. As usual, I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. It's as therapeutic for me as I hope it is for you as I do a show like this. I love entertaining. I love questioning the matrix. I love a good back and forth, a wonderful conversation. Thank you for your support. Thank you for continuing to download this show. Now go out and do something amazing. I think the best part of doing Dangerous Conversation is it's my baby. I don't have a bunch of program directors and idiots trying to tell me, don't say this, say this more. You should say this 3 times a show. I let it flow. I pick a topic, I find some content, I hit start, and we see what happens. And I trust it. I do. It's a lot of fun. Interesting changes in my life for the better. This old rusty, crusty heart has opened up and loves a woman and bigger plans on the horizons for the two of us and our knucklehead dogs. So if I disappear for a couple of weeks, it's because things are changing. I'm really proud of this show. I'm glad I did it. I hope you are too. I'll talk to you next week.
Hey guys and gals, this is Ian Beckles. You may know me from my 9 seasons in the NFL or from listening to me in sports radio for years. But now you get to see and hear the real me, uncensored me, and also unfiltered as well on my new podcast, Ian Beckles, Flavor in Your Ear. What's Flavor in Your Ear? I'll tell you what it is. It's a whole lot of fun. Food, fashion, sports, sex, politics, and my personal adventures as well. And a whole lot more food. Make sure to check out Ian Beckles' Flavor in Your Ear each Friday on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.